Well, here we are, Sunday morning in the middle of late August, really, and we are enjoying just about perfect summer weather, about the mid-80s, which gets people out into the ocean and to the pools and traveling and enjoying the summer. Now, I thought it would be good for us today to consider a passage from John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. The subject is eternal life. If you have your Bible handy, get it out and turn to John 17, verses 1 through 5. And now let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message in this song and the thought that we are forgiven and our sins are washed away is overwhelming to us. We thank you for such grace and mercy to us. And now we pray today as we study the subject of eternal life that the Holy Spirit will be in our hearts, in our midst. Open our understanding to know and believe this truth and to experience it in our lives. May our Lord Jesus Christ be exalted and honored, and may God the Father be pleased, and may the Holy Spirit be present to use this passage in each of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's immediately turn to the text of John 17, verses 1 through 5. Would you follow as I read this passage? Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. What an awesome subject to consider. Eternal life. The only authentic truth about eternal life is recorded in the Bible. This is where we look. This is where we find the truth. Here are words of truth about eternal destiny, about eternal life. Is there anything more important than eternal destiny? This life passes so quickly, but eternity is the thing. Someone has well said that life is preparation for death. There's a great deal of truth in that. And so, as we approach the subject of eternal life, we do so prayerfully and humbly. We need to consider the background of this prayer recorded in John 17. It is believed that this prayer was given just prior to his death, and It's really the Lord's Prayer. And he begins with the word Father. Father. Revealing the relationship. There is God the Father. there is God the Son, who became Jesus, the human. Jesus is human. He has a body like we have. He lived here. He is the Son of God. That is his title, and he is also God's Son. Speaking of relationship. What a glorious relationship we have in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So, in the background of the prayer, then we have the relationship established. Then there's a request. As he says, Father, glorify your Son. In simple words, we could say, the request is, Father, take me home. Take me home to be with you. I was in eternal heaven with you. Now glorify me with that same glory which I had with you before the world was. Now there's a message in itself to think about before the world was. What was that like? What was going on with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from all eternity before the world was? So we have the relationship and we have the request, Father, glorify me. In the third place now we have the plan that has been revealed. As Jesus said, glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he shall give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Now, how does this unfold? How does eternal life come to a sinful human being? Well, the first place in this passage we learn that the Father has given authority to the Son. And this authority is over all flesh. Now just think of that through the years of history and the human beings that have come and gone. Those who have had positions of earthly authority, the kings, the presidents, the generals, and the people who exist today who seem to be controlling and running the world, the leaders of the United Nations, the leaders of the nations around the world, they are not final authority. They have temporary authority over people. But it is our Lord Jesus Christ who has authority over all flesh. And the Father has given Christ this authority. We want to make sure that he is our personal authority. If you say that you have received Jesus Christ, it means you have received his authority. The Father has given authority to the Son over all flesh. That's the Father's gift to the Son. Now the Father also has another gift to the Son, and it is this. The Father has given a group of people to the Son. There is a select group of people who are given to the Son to be his family forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ will give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. Now, in this passage, there are at least six direct statements about people being given to the Son. And Christ repeats this throughout his prayer. In John chapter 6, verse 37, there is also this statement. All that have been given to me will come to me. And he that comes to me, I will never turn away. The fact is, the Father has given a group of people to the Son. Now we say, who are these? Who are these people? Well, it can be no other than the elect. The group of people given to the Son, the group is the elect. God has an election, which occurred before the foundation of the world, in which he chose certain humans to have the gift of eternal life and be with him forever. Biblical truth to believe, to be thankful for. As many as does not mean everyone. As many as is not universalism, which some people out of human sentiment want to believe and preach. So, in this passage, the Father has given authority to the Son, and the Father has given to the Son a group of people called the elect. Now, there is another gift in this passage. Just think of the gift, the givers, and the giving. Here's another gift. The Son gives eternal life to those whom the Father has given him. The gift of eternal life. There is an act of giving, a definite event which occurs, which comes to those who believe and trust. Romans 6:33 states, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a gift. The Son gives eternal life. Now let's just think for a moment about that word gift and what it means. What is a true gift? A true gift is free, with no obligation and without expectation. Now, in our human traditions, we might receive a gift, and immediately we think, well, what could I give in return? That person gave me a birthday present. Now I feel obligated to give that person a birthday present. Well, the gift of eternal life is not like that. It's absolutely free. It is without obligation. It is without expectation. We can't give anything back to God for the gift of eternal life. It's just given. A third thing about this gift is that it is owned. It is possessed. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord is my possession. Your possession. We have eternal life. It is ours. We are the owners because God has given us this gift. Think of this. The Son gives eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. Now, the subject we want to pursue is this matter of eternal life. And to define it and describe it biblically, there is no way pure human logic or reason can approach this subject. But because we have the biblical revelation, we can think it through and we can accept what God has revealed about eternal life. Now, the first thing we know about eternal life is that it is the most expensive gift. Here again, in our human traditions, we think of, well, that person must have spent $50 on that gift for me, and I have to come back with a gift that is at least that value. But here is a gift that is the most expensive. There's no way to think of human value. It is the most expensive gift. Which leads us to the doctrine of redemption, which involves the price paid for our salvation. And the price paid for our salvation is the most expensive price that is possible in all the universes of God. It is the death of Christ. It is the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave himself voluntarily in a substitutionary death for our sin. He shed his blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. If you don't have blood, you have no life. The blood of animals could not bring salvation or forgiveness of sin. Only a shadow of the sacrifice that was to come. The most expensive gift that could possibly be paid is given through Christ in shedding his blood on Calvary. If you have eternal life, remember this. It is the most expensive gift we could think about. Now, secondly, eternal life is an expressive gift. That is, it's known and realized. It's in our being. It's an gift that expresses God's love. Eternal life is the gift of God's love. It is also the gift of Christ's sacrifice. It is also the gift of the Holy Spirit's application to our hearts. Now think of this. God loves his elect. Christ came to save his elect through death and resurrection. But nothing reaches home to the sinner. Nothing comes into our experience or realization until the Holy Spirit applies that truth to our life. He invades our life and works grace into our being and brings about a response of, yes, I believe, I trust in the love of God through the death of Christ my Lord, and I am saved, and I have eternal life. Yes, eternal life is the most expensive gift, and it is also an expressive gift because it reveals God's wonderful gift. Thirdly, eternal gift is an exclusive gift, and we mentioned this before, through the terms as many as. As many as is not universal. It's a group. It's some. Eternal life is exclusive. It is not for all. God does not give eternal life to everyone. There are those who remain in eternal damnation. Now, fourthly, eternal life is an experienced gift. That is, God expresses the gift, but how do we experience it? Well, we come to experience eternal life through our new birth. We are resurrected from spiritual death, given eternal life, called a new birth. That new birth is brought about by the Holy Spirit, and He gives us new life. New life that is eternal. That is, eternal life is forever, but eternal life is for now. Eternal life is for this morning. Eternal life is for today. Eternal life is whenever you're listening to this tape. It's now. A quality of life. The believing have a quality of life that is absolutely unknown to the unbelievers. They are living in darkness. They know not the truth. They do not know God. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not know the Holy Spirit. We experience this gift given to us. It is inside. It is real. It is true. It is not theory. It is not a myth. It is absolutely real in our lives. Eternal life is expensive. It's expressive. It's exclusive. And it is an experienced gift. Now, we must consider that eternal life is an essential gift. What are the words that could be used? Essential, vital, must. Jesus said, you must be born again. It is an essential gift because the alternative is eternal death, eternal condemnation, eternal wrath. Eternal wrath, death, does not mean out of existence. Eternal death means separated from God forever in hell. But there is consciousness, there is awareness, There is agony and despair, and there is guilt for all eternity. It is an essential gift. And the alternative thought is too much to bear. Eternal life is through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have the biblical plea, come to Christ. And that has been preached through the years. I think of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who believed fully in the sovereign grace of God. And yet he pleaded with people, turn to the Lord, come to Christ, and you will receive eternal life. What a gift to be without it is to be without God forever. And to think of the people we know, relatives, friends, neighbors, who do not have eternal life, is a hard thought to bear. What a great truth we have, that through our Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life is His gift. Let's believe that truth. Let's live it. And let's proclaim it to those who are yet lost. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. With our entire being, with the best way we can describe it or say it, we thank you. I thank you this morning for the gift of eternal life to me and to my family. It's a humbling thing to realize that we deserve nothing from you, and yet we receive your gift. Thank you. Help us to live out this truth in our daily life, and help us to give out this truth to those who are lost. Use this passage to impact our life today and forever. For Jesus' sake, amen.